First on the agenda, have a certificate of thanks to Jalora Summers of First National Bank.
This is Robert Carlo, bank as well.
Good, we appreciate it. I'd like to read this, if I may. Dear Ms. Summers, on behalf of all the dedicated public safety officers now and in the future, as well as on behalf of all the citizens of Butler County and the areas beyond whose life, health, personal safety, or property will one day owe a debt of gratitude to the operation of the Butler County 800 megahertz public safety radio communication system, the Board of Butler County Commissioners would like to publicly thank the First National Bank and you as its president and CEO for your generous and public-spirited donation to Butler County of both an access easement and utility easement through your bank property located at 9318 Cincinnati Columbus Road in order to enable the county to locate a public safety communication tower on an out-of-the-way portion of the Lakota Local School District Shawnee Elementary School property. The First National Bank and your public-spirited donation without seeking anything in return just to help others is an example from which we all can and should learn. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Thank you.
That is great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you guys go around and just take a picture?
Yeah.
If you would like to take a picture, they'll come around.
Sure.
Can you guys go around and take a picture?
A photo op.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever won't break the camera.
Thanks. Things are good. How about you?
That's good right there. Kind of scrunch in a little bit.
Oh, and in the middle? Is that for you?
Take a couple. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's a security measure, Don. If you can't move it, you guys are safe.
Okay, our illustrious county engineer, Greg Wilkins. Greg, always a pleasure.
Good morning.
Welcome, sir.
Today I'm here to present our 2008 capital improvement project list. Give you a little information on what you see coming up this year. I'll run through it pretty well page by page and give you an idea where we're at. The first page you see is just a letter, and what this really defines is this capital improvement project is or budget and project list has come out of numerous hours of inspections, analysis of roads, accident history, culvert inspections, bridge inspections that are done on an annual or biannual basis. The accident program pretty well sets in place many of our capital improvements. That's done on a statistical basis based on the accident history of intersections, mid-block intersection or mid-block roads, and other such data that we've ran a history over the last probably 15 years to look at that. And that comes that we come to bear with that and funding sources to come to the conclusion of what we're going to build. And the funding source is a critical component of it because that's what makes it happen in reference to matching that to the project and the needs. And you'll see as we get back into the match system we've had and come in place. First eight pages, you start seeing the first one here in the capital improvement under bridges is the Woodsdale Bridge, which we had the groundbreaking on. That you got in front of you today is business, too, which is critical that we get the contract signed today in reference so we can start clearing on Monday in reference to meet the April 15th date for the Indiana BAT. Because if we don't meet that date and have it cleared, that project will not commence. Moving forward, you'll see that we got the Morgan Ross Road Bridge. It's on the top of the OPWC funding. We've had great success in the OPWC funding and securing that. Most of our bridge projects, a lot of our money or funding sources come out of OPWC, which is the Ohio Public Works Commission. Next page, you see We've got the Swordsville-Westchester Bridge. This is down near Westchester, in close to the little village of Westchester. You drive by it, won't even think of it, but that's a bridge that's been need replaced. It's about a $500,000 project. Then the next bridge you see is the Byer Road Bridge. It's up by State Road, up in the northern part, up in Milford. That's going to be a little alignment project, too, with vertical alignment. If you can see in a picture how it comes up to the grade of the intersection of State, we're going to try to raise that grade all in the same with the bridge project. Moving forward, Somerville Road. That is one of our load-limited bridges. That's right near 127 up where Somerville crosses 127. And that's one of the four load-limited bridges we have right now. Is Somerville, which is going to be replaced this year. Then we got Hamilton New London, which has got federal money in it, which we replaced in 2011. We've got Elk Creek that we've did some more analysis of, and we'll be removing it here in the next, I think you'll see we'll request a resolution in the next month or so. We got 4 Mile Creek Road, which is one resident at the end of it, and we're not, as a matter of fact, we had plans to replace that, and the resident said don't expend the money here, so we decided if he was okay with it, we're okay with it. And the other one you see come on and off is Black Road. We'll probably have a resolution in front of you for placing a load limit on Black Road by Ross Hanover down there, and we were looking to replace it in 2009. So that gives you an analysis of where we're at with our bridges anyway. Moving forward, you see Morgenthaler. That's up right out of 7 Mile. We replaced that with a conspan structure. We've already bid the structure, and it's in place and built, and we'll bid the installation. Herman Road, down around Boulder Drive, we'll replace culverts down in Boulder for the township at the same point when they do a replacement of that project. Next one is Mormon Road you see there. That's just going to do some work on that structure, the head wall and some other things on the bottom of it with the head wall replacement. That moves us forward to the culverts. I'm not going to go individually down to all those culverts. You can see that they're listed there. They're an unsung hero because without them, you know, if we pull out one of them culverts, that road's closed. So it's, you know, we talk about bridges, we talk about road improvements, but those culverts are a big item in their own right. That really comes out of our inspection that we do. We inspect the township culverts 1 year, the county culverts the next. So biannually, we're doing inspection of all culverts in the county. You see there's some other pictures of those culverts. But moving forward, some of the other projects is our bigger intersection projects. What you see that picture of is the first project is a Hamilton Mason Liberty Fairfield Vintage Road relocation, an intersection improvement. That is going to be a realignment. If you look north, it dead ends into it's the road running vertical there is Liberty Fairfield intersects Hamilton Mason. That's going to be relocated over and curved to the right to align with Vintage Road. You can see that subdivision street. This is in the area of a Hillendale nursing facility. There's going to be a roundabout. It's a new. It's not a new type. It's been around for a while. But there'll be a new intersection. A roundabout is going to be placed in there. One of the reasons that came out of some public input, there was concern out of the residents on Vintage Road there, the subdivisions, that if you put a standard intersection in there, that the speeds will greatly be increased as people coming through there. And they were concerned about the speed. So with that, in an effort to slow it down, we're designing a roundabout, which is not the easiest design. You won't pick this up, but there's a lot of vertical coming through, and you're trying to level out those roundabouts. If you've ever seen them, you're familiar with them. So it's not the easiest design in the world, but I think it's to serve the intersection very well. That's one of two we're doing. We're doing another one. If you see the next intersection down is the Lakota Drive and Eagle Ridge Drive. That, again, is another roundabout. That's there by the high school, by Lakota West. We're going to do some education in that project, making sure we're going to visit the schools, have an assembly, talk about roundabouts and how do you proceed through them. Because it is, I wouldn't say it's new, but it's going to be new to the higher volume roads that we've got in the county. We did some analysis of them nationwide. They proved to be a safer intersection a lot of times than a conventional intersection. and we're moving forward. As I've always said, we don't want to be on the bleeding edge, but on the leading edge of things, and that's pretty well where we're at with this. You see the next one on down is Cincinnati-Dayton Road written there, Cincinnati-Dayton and Milliken. That's where we're putting turn lanes in. The signal's already signalized. We're putting turn lanes in on Milliken. Next intersection is Bethany at Liberty Court and Cincinnati-Dayton. That's a combination of those three roads, and that's to serve the new freshman school for Lakota. They're going to be at, that's going to complete, that Lakota Court will complete the drive into and give you another way into Children's Hospital off of Bethany, which we feel would probably serve the Warren County constituents that have come through on Bethany Road and be able to get to Children's Hospital that way and relieve some of the traffic on Cincinnati-Dayton. That has been with the cooperative effort of Liberty Township and the schools and us to complete that project. There'll be a turn lane on Cincinnati-Dayton as well. Okay, the next one is LaSwordsville-Westchester Road at the new elementary school. It's a widening for a turn lane down just, it's going to be just north of Tylersville Road where the new elementary school comes in there. We are working with Lakota to improve that road and that intersection as well. As you turn the page here at the top of the page, you can see Kyle Station at 747. This is funded by one of Liberty Township's RIDs. We've worked cooperatively with them and referenced in the state. It's going to a setup with a five-lane section on 747 that will join into future widening that will be able to carry 747 five lanes from now at Princeton Road all the way up to Route 4 in the future, and this will fit right in. And improve with turn lanes. That is a dangerous intersection. The vertical in there is a problem off of Kyle Station Road, and we'll be improving that. As you move down the list, you see Cincinnati-Dayton and Westchester Road. It's a TIF project with Westchester. We'll improve the intersection right in front of the administration building, Westchester's administration building there, adding turn lanes to relieve some of the traffic that's on the on UCB, give them a back way to I-75 up north through Cincinnati-Dayton. You got the other one, which is Allen at Windish down there. This is another TIF project we're working with Westchester on. And that's the extension of a Civic Center Drive to intersect with Windish. That will be real instrumental in circulating the traffic down through that area to IKEA. Now, when IKEA comes through, now right now they're moving all the way over to Cincinnati-Dayton to make. If they come off the ramp in a continuous right, they have to go down to Cincinnati-Dayton. This will get another avenue and a shortcut. They'll be able to come down through Civic Center, make another right onto Allen, and enter IKEA from the east. So that's another picture of it from looking north. And if you turn the page here, you can see it. That building comes out. Duke's building two major buildings in their office complexes where that one site is, and that's the intersection we're talking about right there at the bottom of the picture there with Windish and Allen. Some of the other things you see are some of our force account work, but some of the other roadway improvements you're going to see that we're going to do is add an additional turn lane onto Tylersville Road out by Butler Warren and Cox. Out through there where it goes to a four-lane. When we built it a number of years ago, it's a four-lane section without a turn lane. We've had some accidents and rear-end situations where people are it's a through lane that the people are stopped to make a left into the VOA or whatever. And from that standpoint, we feel additional turn lanes are warranted and then replace that for safety's sake. As you move forward, you see... This is Princeton Road. We're going to improve Princeton Road at Walden Ponds to the bypass. In that area, it's going to go to a five-lane section that's out by Home Depot and Walmart out in that area. We're going to add a curb and gutter section, so it's going to be more aesthetically pleasing out there. And that's worked with the Fairfield Township and their TIFs. Also, a TIF project down, another one down in Westchester is Beckett Road down at Smith, just north of Union Center, where the curve's in there. If you're familiar with the curve, where the firehouse is in there, we're going to put turn lanes into the firehouse. Also, there are parks down in that area, and were to soften that curb. Anderson to be the township has requested a bike path up on the north side, or I guess the northeast side of that, along there to facilitate bike traffic from the UCB area up into Beckett Ridge. Our paving this year is approximately $1 million of paving. You see the roads listed. We are hoping we can pave all them roads. We are seeing about a 20% increase in the prices we put out already on asphalt this year. So we feel that we're preparing to cut one of those roads in an effort to just make the budget work. And that's usually the pliable areas in our paving, our resurfacing. Our roads are generally in pretty good shape. We can hold off a year or two, but we're cautious. You don't want to get behind the eight ball in that, because we're on a cycle about every 12 to 15 years we're resurfacing in an effort to keep the pavement in good shape. Because once you fall behind in that, it gets very expensive to rebase it and make up that difference. That what you don't see there is we will administrate probably another $3.5 million of paving for the townships that we do every year. We administrate all their contracts and do their culvert inspections. Some of the others see the block grant money we've got there is the Lennox Road storm sewer, which has been on the books for a number of years. We'll administrate that contract and do a little replacement. The thing you see in the other state OPWC funds that we're using is SLIP. Butler County is a little more fortunate than Hamilton County and Claremont County and the counties down by the river. They get into a tremendous amount of SLIPs. We do not have that many of them. Our soils are in a state that we just don't have them. It's a good thing because these are very expensive and can become very expensive. As you can see the picture here, this is due to erosion of Indian Creek along Raleigh-Millville Road. This is one or two we're going to work on. The other one that we're looking to do next year is along Hamilton-Eaton Road, just south of Somerville up in that area. That again, it's an erosion-type problem with 7 Mile. The other things are our local maintenance deal is a restriping, installation of raised pavement markers. But the last on that, the bottom of that list, you see the installation of UPS battery backups. That has come out of a safety need. As this county is growing, we're getting multiple lanes at intersections. You can no longer put an officer out there if that signal goes down and the power goes out. It's almost becomes impossible for the officer to manage that kind of traffic. So what we have started an extensive program and even up the budget from what we anticipated. They're putting $400,000 a year and getting battery backups so if the power goes down, that signal will still function as if it won't miss a lick. So that's very important to us because I think the commissioners have named it at one lawsuit up on 747 and Route 4 in reference to the problem that they had with that, and it just drives us from a safety issue that we need to do that. The last sheet is generally a summary. You see that we're looking at $31.6 million plus another $3.5 million for administration of the township paving that have come into that. The TIF and the local dollars, the grants that are out of federal dollars or OPWC dollars amount to about $13 million. The others is the local funds and BCO and countywide TIFs and private money is about $18.6 million. But if you look at what we've done in our intersections in the second chart down here, the bridges, culverts, intersections, and roadway, you can see we're probably on a 7-to-1 ratio on secure and match money. We typically spend about $6 or $7 million of our own funds and capital improvements every year. And you can see that's a match, the match money. There is no funding out there to match resurfacing. Resurfacing is a dollar for dollar. And our budget is typically about $1 million a year for that. So you can't secure any matching funding for that. But you can see we get matching funding for the other things, which really is a real asset. I don't think we could keep up with this without securing this kind of matching funds. Quite honestly, we're one of the few counties. I'd say there's probably less than six or seven, eight counties in the state that go after federal funds the way we do. Because the complexity in the federal system is so complex that you got to have some experience in it. But we feel that we can't turn our back under those funds because those are the only way that we're going to secure the big projects. And anything that we're looking at, a major five-lane type intersection. Since a Butler Warren's going to be coming up, we've secured the money through OKI with that $6 million grant. But the process is cumbersome. And it's very cumbersome. I mean, that's where you're in with the Indiana BAT. That's where you're meeting these time frames, you know, with all the environmental issues that come to play into that. All the right-of-way issues, the eminent domain issues, the relocation issues that come to play when you're dealing with that. But we feel we need to go after that money to even begin to keep up with the growth that this county's seen. So with that, I'll answer any questions you may have.
Greg, you've done a tremendous job on being able to leverage money from the money that you get in the past, and I guess that's still continuing from what I understand, so, enabling us to do a lot of these projects. So, to be commended on that. You guys have anything?
Just Greg, the bridges, are you using any composite bridges? I remember we did the one bridge on Smith Road. Is that sort of an experiment bridge?
It was an experiment, and I tell you what happens in that is it's really not that cost effective. Those composites, they're lighter structure, easier to work with typically, but the reality of the cost of those type of structures are they've not caught on because they're not cost effective in reference to your typical concrete type structures, concrete or steel, and that's what's happened with that. Well, it's getting thinner. We had some loads. Thank God we had loads coming in prior to that snow that we pulled in probably, I think, 6,000 tons of salt prior to that event. That, you know, those events are costly, but it's a service that we need to provide. We recognize the need for that. But you surely could find a better use for that money. That event itself cost us $166,000. Manpower, salt, truck time.
Greg, I have a question. I read in a paper where Bridgewater Falls is in default of $80-some million in their development out there. What impact does that have on the TIFs and the JEDs and that? Do you know?
I don't really know, Don. I only speculate the TIFs would probably go on. I'm guessing if they pay, as long as they're paying or they got tenants. So I don't know the effects of that. That does have some worry, as you well know, because we're funding part of this out of that TIF. That Princeton Road is a TIF from Fairfield Township that we're doing, and that's been a good TIF for the township.
I guess our point is that we in conversations with the township to make sure that we're still. I mean, I know this is all new, but you know that we're still on the same budget numbers that we were looking at before.
You know what? I have not been in contact with the township in reference to that, but I think that's a good idea. We had to make sure and see if how the collections or if there's been any effect on the collections of those taxes. I mean,
Tim Williams and Andy Brosser.
Yeah, we gotta look at that. I don't think it's a sign, maybe a sign of some things to come. The economy's not good, and we need to be preparing. Looking ahead a little bit, and things aren't as they used to be, as you well know. So maybe it'd be prudent, I think, for us to have Tim Williams and our people look at that. Maybe we can get back with you. And
I think that's a valid point, because if you go and look at the funding sources in here, a number of the projects we're doing, particularly in the Westchester area and Fairfield Township area, are TIFs. The Civic Center, the Windish Interchange, a number of them projects are down there are TIF funded.
Well, some of them are geared for you plan on the funding based on hope for development too.
Yeah, the Liberty Interchange. You all know that's on all planned around development as it comes on. I think the Westchester TIFs are pretty solid. I'm thinking there's some good development. There's nothing happened, but as you say, Don, the Bridgewater Falls is probably one or two sole sources of those TIFs out there.
Yeah, it was a major.
Right.
Have a major impact on these plans.
Right. So, well, I appreciate that comment. Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
have a good day.
Appreciate it. Should we have Dave go ahead?
Yeah.
Dave, you want to go next, please? Dave Fair. Replat.
I just have one item this morning. This is Schaefer's Run subdivision. It's a replat of lot 7642. They want to remove a total easement. It's not needed by the county. We are okay with removing that easement.
Move this through.
Second.
Commissioner Dalbeck?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
First time since you've been here.
Yes.
Thanks, Dave. Mary Lynn Loader, Recycle to Win Challenge.
I'm actually going to just turn it over to Ann in the interest of time. So, Ann, I can talk fast.
Thanks. Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. Hi. Thanks for giving me some time this morning. I want to use this opportunity to update you on some activities that we're doing in the Solid Waste District. And also, I'm here to seek your approval and endorsement of a new recycle challenge that we would like to sponsor in the county. Just as a means of orientation, I wanted to let you know and remind you that we're an enterprise fund. We're funded by a $2 per ton generation fee that is collected on all waste that's generated in Butler County and deposited in landfills in Ohio. We were mandated to exist in 1988 by Ohio EPA as a means of managing solid waste disposal and reducing the amount of waste we send to landfills. And there are 52 solid waste districts in the state of Ohio. We are governed by a solid waste policy committee, and you all have a designee on our policy committee in the person of Mary Lynn Loader. And we are operating under a 15-year solid waste management plan, which you approved in 2005 and was approved by 99% of the political subdivisions in Butler County. So we have good solid grounding on our solid waste plan and what we're trying to implement here. Just wanted to let you know that we have several long-term collection events that we have in place. Some of these are new programs that were initiated last year that have been very well received by the public. We really feel that our job is to make it easy for consumers to manage hard to dispose of items. And I think this is something that people perceive a lot of value in, and I want you to be aware of this. We have a computer and television recycling program that will begin next month, and will operate two Saturdays of the month through September. We have a free on appliance collection program that we inaugurated last year. It's an on-demand service. We allow the resident to call our contractor and schedule collection of their free on appliance when it suits them. And this has been a very popular service. It will be offered from April to December of this year. We also have a hazardous waste drop-off, which has been renewed for the third year in 2008, and it will operate every Thursday from June to September. These programs are expensive, but they are they're worthwhile, and we feel that we're really capturing more material and more consumers are attending these programs due to the longevity that we're offering. We also have a one-day event for waste tires in the fall. And those are popular with a lot of the rural areas of our county. The other thing I wanted to thank you for is your leadership in recycling. In April of last year, you passed a resolution requiring that all county employees and all county offices recycle. And we have been successful and have doubled the number of offices, more than doubled the number of offices that are recycling here in Butler County. We've had a lot of positive reception. We've gone after the biggest offices like Children's Services, Job and Family Services, CSEA, and most recently we partnered with Greg Wilkins in the Butler County Engineer's Office and the Sheriff to establish a cardboard recycling program at the jail. The jail is like a small city. in the middle of our city of Hamilton. And as you can imagine, they have a commissary, they have offices, they have people living there, and they have a tremendous amount of cardboard. And we'll be installing a compactor for cardboard there at the end of this month. So it's been an excellent collaboration among several county entities. We also embarked on a year-long public awareness campaign last year that included billboards that were placed throughout the county, including in Westchester. And we had commercial radio ads, Time Warner cable television spots, as well as a special primetime special that we partnered with WCPO-TV Channel 9, the ABC affiliate in Cincinnati, to do a Living Green show, which allowed us also to have a live phone bank at the studio where we received over 112 calls from residents throughout the tri-state about recycling and some of our special collection programs. And we're doing that again this year. It will be aired on March 26th at 9 p.m. So I encourage people to watch. It's good exposure for us as a county and for you as commissioners. I'm here to talk today about a Recycle to Win challenge that we would like to launch in Butler County. Really much of the inspiration for this program has been borrowed from a national program called Recycle Mania that is done at the campuses, over 300 campuses nationwide, and has generated a tremendous following and a lot of exposure for universities around the country. It was started by Miami University and Ohio University about 5 years ago and has grown tremendously and has really kind of raised the exposure for recycling among that age group. And I think we can borrow some lessons from them on how to do recycling. So here's kind of just a snapshot of the graphic image that we're using, trying to infuse it with a sense of competition and even a little bit of sportsmanship. What is the Recycle to Win Challenge? Just want to give you a brief description. It's a friendly competition that's designed to recognize and reward the top recycling communities in our county for their recycling success. As you may recall, part of the Solid Waste Management Plan included a residential recycling incentive which paid communities based on the total tonnage that was collected in curbside and drop box programs. This is really an extension of that program. We want to make it sound a little bit less government, give it some language that might make people excited about recycling and make them actually think about recycling. So we're kind of changing the language. And as you know, communities compete in this program to earn cash back incentives as a result of their recycling activity. The goals of the challenge, as I mentioned, recognize and reward recycling in communities that are outperforming, get underperforming recycling communities to increase recycling. We have several cities in the county that are really underperforming. We really want to help them generate some enthusiasm and some a little bit more profile for them to participate in recycling. We also want to motivate residents to participate in recycling through their curbside or drop box programs. And we want to increase the county recycling rate, which is right now at about 7%, to over 10%, which I think is a very, very doable goal. What materials will count, and how will we get it done? I don't know if you're aware, but we have 22 drop boxes now countywide. Those were initiated in 2007 and the end of 2006. That was part of satisfying the access to recycling goal, which we talked to you all about a few years back. It's our way of providing 90% of the population in Butler County with access to recycling resources. Of course, all of the municipalities have curbside recycling as part of their standard trash collection service for their residents. And then we also have townships in the southeastern part of the county, like Westchester, Liberty, and Fairfield, where residents can sign up to have curbside recycling at their homes. And all of the typical materials that you would put in your recycling bin will count towards the Recycle to Win challenge. So paper, newsprint, paperboard, cardboard, plastic, aluminum, glass. How will we measure recycling? Waste tonnage is reported to us by Rumpke, and they give us this information at quarterly. We get the tonnage for waste that's generated as well as the recycling. We will capture data that will be measured from January to December of this year. And in 2008, the incentive program will reward the total recycling rate, and I'm going to explain that, recognizing communities that remove the most material from the waste stream. Just to give you a snapshot of performance in our county, the city of Oxford is the top recycling community in our county. They remove 15.5% of their waste out of the waste stream for recycling. Fairfield is the close runner-up at 10.5%, and you can see the other communities that follow. We really want to raise the bar and get all of these communities to 10%. I should also let you know that Oxford and Fairfield have fully embraced this concept and have formally challenged one another in their meetings to say that they are going to kick the green butts of Oxford, is how Fairfield has phrased it. They really think that they can overtake Oxford as the top recycling community in the county. And I really applaud their leadership and their vision for trying to get their community to become more green. We will still be paying on recycling tonnage, and I wanted you to know that some of the top recycling tonnage generators are the obvious ones. They're the biggest communities in our county, which has, you know, obviously the most population. So Fairfield and Westchester and Hamilton still generate the most tonnage, but we really want to recognize the communities that are making the greatest effort. In 2006 and 2007, the recycling incentive was a flat fee of, or a flat rate of $7 per ton. So everyone was treated equally, regardless of whether you recycled at 3% or 15%. In 2008, in the Recycle to Win Challenge, the Solid Waste Policy Committee really took a hard look at the money that we have reserved to allocate to this program and said, maybe we should start rewarding the communities that are doing the most at a higher level of return. So communities that perform over 5%, remove 5% of their waste from the waste stream are going to be rewarded at a $12 per ton rate, 10%, $17 per ton. And if you're performing at 15% or over, we'll reward you at $22 per ton. Just to give you an example of what this means to our top two communities, the city of Oxford has received anywhere from $500 to $6,800 in returns annually. Their return will triple in this year, just based on their current, if all things remain the same, on their current performance level. And the city of Fairfield will more than double their return for the recycling incentive program. And we really feel that rewarding them is the right thing to do. It sends the right message for their efforts. Total annual budget for this program is $120,000, and it is budgeted and line itemed as part of the solid waste management plan. So it has essentially already been approved. Just want to give you an example of some of the other recognition tools that are part of this program. We will call the top recycling community the grand prize winner. They will receive a traveling sculpture, which we will work with Miami University's Fine Arts Department to develop. And I do sincerely hope that it will be a traveling sculpture and that we will have some new winners and new performers in recycling in our county. We also will acknowledge the township and city that demonstrates the greatest overall improvement in moving their recycling rate from what it was in 2007 to what it will be at the end of this year. And then the Recycle Mania contest has a prize that I thought was amusing in its name, the Gorilla Prize, which will be for the highest tonnage generator in the county. So gives us an opportunity to recognize lots of different subdivisions for their efforts. How will we promote the Recycle to Win Challenge? One way, of course, is by appealing to you as leaders of our community to provide us with a proclamation, either today or at another meeting that would be soon, maybe this month. We also will have an Earth Day launch of this program on April 25th out in front of the Government Services Plaza, and we hope that you will be participating in that. That was a very positive event last year. It was the first day that we did an Earth Day fair, and it was well attended throughout the day. We also, as I mentioned, have a competition that is truly in earnest between the city of Fairfield and Oxford. And we have been doing direct mail to all the political subdivisions through their utility bills, whether it's through their water utility or their electric utility. I mentioned the Living Green special on Channel 9. And we'll also be doing a billboard campaign that will run for 9 months of the year. And we'll be keeping track of the quote-unquote score of how different communities are doing on their recycling on our website. I want to thank you today for allowing me to address you and seeking your leadership. I would encourage you all to become recyclers if you're not already, to recycle in your neighborhood as an example to others, and also to continue to recycle in the county as a good model of how to work. Thank you.
Thanks, Ann. Thank you, Ann. I have a proclamation. Do you guys have anything before I do the proclamation? Now, therefore, be it resolved that we, Charles R. Furman, Donald L. Dixon, and Gregory V. Jolivet, Commissioners of Butler County, Ohio, do hereby declare, effective March 13, 2008, our support to increase recycling in Butler County and endorse the Recycle to Win Challenge to encourage broader participation in recycling efforts. County residents are encouraged to recycle materials using drop boxes, curbside collection, household hazardous waste collection, and appliance and electronic recycling. Now, therefore, be it further resolved that April 25th, 2008, be named Recycle to Win Day in Butler County. This date will be the official kickoff of the County Recycling Challenge. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Next on the agenda, Mike Tilton.
Mr. Auditor.
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate you asking me down here. One of the important issues I'd like to address with the reappraisal is many people have seen the newspaper articles talking about we're at odds with the state. I'd like to clearly state that we are not. One of the biggest issues that appears that we're at odds is bank sales. The state will not look at bank sales. But their stance on that is that they are in Columbus. They cannot look at all 88 counties and review those sales. However, they will give us leeway, the public county auditor, to look at those sales to determine whether they're listed on the open market, which most are now. They're listed with a realtor. That, to my opinion, makes it an open market sale that does affect what's going on in the marketplace. So the state does say, yes, you can do that. They can't just because they don't have the resources to go to every county and look at this. So we're not at odds. They agree with us on that, that you know, you have the ability to look at it. And if you think they're valid, go ahead. One of the second issues that we're using to address these issues is we historically, we always use a cost approach. And the cost approach reappraisal, you look more of a neighborhood approach. We're using new software called Market Approach. And the Market Approach does allow us to look at these bank sales. If you're in a neighborhood that's got a lot of bank sales, it'll look at those bank sales to compare your home value. Another issue it'll allow us to do is look at older sales differently. Historically, in an upward trending market, the older sales have probably gone up in value, and you can take that into account. Now, our sales we saw in 05 and 06 have gone down. The Market Approach allows us to discount those sales to take into account what's really going on in the marketplace. So this new Market Approach we're using really addresses that issue. Third thing that we're really looking at, and this affects what's going on in the marketplace that you don't see the sale yet. There's a lot of homes on the market right now. There's a glut of homes on the sale on the market that have not sold yet. We have to have a lien day of January 1st, 2008. The state requires that. But there's a lot of homes on for sale that are possibly below the existing values, and we don't see them yet. We can use what's called a target ratio, and the target ratio allows us to take into account the decline that we think is out there. And the Board of Realtors has been very helpful with us to give us the number of sales. They're on the market right now, what the asking prices are, so we're going to be reviewing those sales to try to determine what kind of target ratio. If just by looking at the older sales, we came up with, say, $160,000 home, but if we use a target ratio to take into account the homes that have not sold yet, we can lower that value to try to hit the market more appropriately. Our biggest hurdle here is the state mandates a January 1st lien date, but the property owners will not see that tax bill till January 1st next year. In an upward trending market, that's okay. Downward trending market, that is not. So by using the ratio, we hope to address those issues. I hope to have by June letters out to every property owner in the county showing them what value we've come up with. And we're going to have informal reviews. We hope to go to different locations out in the county, so someone all the way down Westchester doesn't have to drive here to Hamilton, and let people have the opportunity to come in and see it. We'll show them the market approach, what homes we compare theirs to, and let them discuss it and any issues they might have. It's going to be a tough time for the auditor's office. Historically, we've never seen this much of a downward trading market, and we're going to hopefully deal with it and hopefully alleviate some of the taxpayers' concerns.
Mike, it's really good news. I know Commissioner Dixon was the first to bring this issue up, and it sounds to me like you're injecting some common sense into the problem, which that's kind of scary in itself. We don't see much of that around. So that's a great thing to help with this this problem that we're dealing with. Don, you want to?
No, very pleased, Mike, to hear the new market approach. I think it's fair, and I think our residents will we'll get a fair shake out of this, and I think the true numbers will be reflected, you know, as you discount and take into consideration what's been on the market, what hasn't sold.
See, we were led to believe that that was not the way the state looked at it, and that basically you had to take the three last years, which would not have been a true picture at all. So, you know, I'm glad to hear that Commissioner Furman said there's some common sense put into this approach, because it's only fair. And thank you for taking the time and the effort to share with us and the taxpayers on what, you know, what we're trying to do.
Thank you.
Mike, just to say also thank you to you, Mike, but also when you market approach, you're looking at houses that have been on the market. Say a house has been on the market for 90 days or 120 days. You take that into account that it hasn't sold, and then you do what?
That's where we use the target ratio, because the home hasn't sold. And as far as the computer database has, there is no sale yet. The target ratio is what we'll use after we've looked at the homes that are on the market that haven't sold yet, to try to discount what the value is out there right now, because the sales haven't come through yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure that there's a number of homes on the market that haven't sold in, you know, for 90, 120 days, maybe even higher than that.
That's why the Board of Realtors actually approached us and said, what can we do to help you guys? And they've been sending us Excel spreadsheets of all the properties for sale, and the properties have been sold by banks but listed with realtors. And I've got to commend them for helping us out.
When you send the letter out to all the property owners, will you include the steps that are available to them with regards to their appraisal and how they can – and what they should, you know, be looking at in order to – if they want to appeal – what criteria that we use and or you use in the appeal process? Because sometimes it would help you out, I think, if someone's coming up with an appeal that doesn't meet the criteria, that will eliminate some time on your part to try to explain that.
I'm hoping to address that issue. Actually, sitting on my keyboard back at the desk is our letter from 2002 that we mailed out, and that letter was very plain, just here's the value we've come up with, and explaining the reappraisal. Upward trending market, that's probably okay, because values have continued to go up in between the time of the lien date and the tax bills going out. In this case, I'm reviewing that letter, trying to figure out how we can alleviate a lot of those issues you just said, to make the taxpayers understand how it was your property was valued, how we used the market approach to come up with it. I'd like to, without getting too much expense with these letters, because it is expensive, to show some of the homes we use for comparisons with your home. That's something I'm looking at, what we can do along those lines.
I think if I make a suggestion, maybe this is practical or not, to, as you develop that letter, to use a focus group of people to say, you know, here's the letter, because, you know, sometimes when you're working the problem, you become way too familiar, and the staff becomes, you know, you got to, you know, give it to the average citizen, average property owner, to say, hey, do you understand this letter? And if they don't, maybe you can tweak it in some way to make it more understandable.
That's a great suggestion. I will do that.
Good.
Mike, one thing I was going to suggest is on your letter, you might want to reference to, for a more in-depth look into this whole thing, to your webpage, and maybe on your webpage have a very in-depth explanation about all your what you just described here, and maybe give some real life examples of, you know, this and this, and just a thought.
That we will have done, and I also hope to have on that letter some of the dates and locations will be, so people who are concerned right away don't feel like they have to drive all the way to Hamilton or out to our field office. You know, we'll hopefully try to get out to maybe Lakota, up to Talawanda and Oxford. We'll be calling the schools and see if we could reserve a room and just set up some informal reviews for some of the taxpayers.
You can probably predict, you know, by looking at the appraisal, if it's gone up, where you're going to be receiving the most phone calls from, and be aware of that, I think.
That is a tough subject that you get into. There are some neighborhoods where homes are valued in the $80,000-$100,000 range that, because the affordability and because the banks and lending agencies have tightened their standards, you can't just go in and get 100% loan many times anymore. So people are looking for those cheaper homes, which have driven those homes up in value.
Right.
The newer homes in the subdivision, we're seeing them stagnant or dropping because there's so many of them, and the higher-priced homes are harder to afford with the mortgage changes. despite rates coming lower, the mortgage companies have had to tighten their standards just to keep them from going into too many foreclosures.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Appreciate it, Mike. Good job. Thank you. Want to go into communications, please?
Sure. First would be approved minutes from March 6th, approved travel and training, under finance, transfers, and appropriations, under personnel, four certified development company resolutions, grant salary adjustment to economic development manager, which is Shonda, grant salary increase to deputy clerk, Butler County Area Court, under job and family services, approved two child daycare contracts, under environmental services, release one-year maintenance bond for Walden Ponds, receive and refer bids for sale of used DES laboratory equipment, release one-year maintenance bond to Liberty Plaza sanitary sewer extension. Delegate authority to chief and wastewater operators to sign monthly operating reports. Under engineer, advertise for bids for Lasorda Westchester Road Bridge replacement. Cancel maintenance bond for Wellborn Farm Section 2. Award contract to John R. Jurgensen Company. Approve and execute contract with Sinesis Construction Company. Receive and refer bids for contract for intersection improvements to Cincinnati Dayton Road. Under miscellaneous, designate Jill Cole and Deborah Maloney to sign bonds in the absence of the Butler County Auditor. Approve reimbursement to Cartwell for EMA training. Appoint outside legal counsel for a workers' compensation issue. Approve grant of funds to area safety councils. Abolish the Butler County Automatic Data Processing Board. Establish the Department of Information Services. Reimburse Job and Family Services for children's service, social service costs, and advertise for bids for construction of redesigned animal shelter. On the two under the abolish automatic data processing and information services, Mike would like to address you a minute on those, if that's possible.
Sure.
Okay.
You wanted to.
Which item would you like to discuss first?
Well, either one.
They go hand to hand, I think, don't they?
Actually, I feel they're like two separate issues.
Okay.
To go to the first one, abolish the automatic data processing board. Just to give a little history, my father actually was involved in creating that data board. And at the time, we're talking like around 1978, and a computer was a major purchase for the county. A computer at that time was 6 foot tall, 14 foot wide. It was called a PDP 1170. It was a major endeavor. And having a data board there to ensure that they make the right purchase, because it was a financial decision here to purchase that. It made a lot of sense to have a data board for those kind of approvals. The data board may have outlived its purpose from then because computers are now on your desktop. Their prices are under $1,500 a piece. As an auditor, my concern is, do you have the money in your budget? Do I feel the office holder needs to come ask to spend the money that I have in their budget? I don't think I need to tell someone they have to come in and ask for permission, as long as they have it in their budget. The only issue maybe is setting standards, and that was part of the process there. As long as the Information Services Department can still issue standards for the county to protect the integrity of the network, ensure compatibility, which also goes into backing up all servers and backing up all your software, we want to make sure for disaster recovery purposes we're able to do that. So as long as your standards issued, why do you have to come to a data board to get approval when you've already gotten your budget, which the budget was already approved by the board? So you know, I don't not see an issue with dissolving that mandate that you have to come and ask for permission. Going on to the other issue, and that's to establish the Department of Information Services Commissioner's Office. I think there's a lot more to this issue. There's a lot of staffing issues that would need to be changed, not necessarily what the people are doing, but how they're reporting to who, and then there's the financial issues. Currently, because they're housed in the auditor's office pays for this funding, including funding for many employees out of the real estate assessment fund, which real estate assessment fund cannot be transferred to other purposes other than the auditor's office specific for real estate purposes. So I would like to, for that issue, ask for time to spend with Derek to discuss personnel issues, how that's addressed, Tim Williams to discuss financial issues, how we can all make this work. I'm not against the idea, but I'd like to have some time to review how the plan would work and how we would do the transfer.
Thanks, Mike. I think that, you know, when we talking about establishing the IT underneath the commissioner's office, my goal is that I believe every office holder has some IT people in their own office, that the goal would be, as we bring it under the commissioner's office, that there'd be a reduction of needed labor within each office holder that they could use the department in order to facilitate their own IT problems. So that's my goal, but I understand your concerns about the finances and the personnel. And as we go forward, you know, I can assure you that they will be addressed.
I actually believe in what you're saying, and I kind of like the idea that the Information Service Department is controlled by three people instead of one. But how the issues of the people either moving from our building down the street or this building, how they support the departments they're already supporting, the existing projects we already have that they're working on, you know, address those issues for staffing, how they move, and especially the financial issues and how we're going to do that. Good example is GIS department. The department's paid for entirely out of the real estate assessment fund. However, we bill the engineer's office and the water and sewer department, and that's the three biggest users of the department. Now, how do we address that issue? Do we, does the commission pick up the entire funding and then bill us back for our share of that? You know, those issues, just, it'd be nice to have more time to review all the issues, make sure we don't have any, something that hits us down the road. I don't think it'd take a lot of time to review these issues. Have great working relationship with Derek and Tim, and I think we can resolve all those and review those.
We want to consider tabling that till Thursday on that particular issue.
Well, I mean, is it, I mean, well, I guess.
Go ahead and vote on it and let them come back with it Thursday for some more information.
Well, I think it's going to be, this is not going to, something happens in a matter of a week or two. And I think, you know, if we've made a decision to do it, and let me say that I support that decision because I think it's time that the county brings all that into one agency. You know, we've got a multi-million dollar fiber optic system that's just lying out there. You know, nobody's in charge. Nobody's in control. We need somebody that has some expertise in the new technology, and it's voice and data. And, I think we're going to have to go outside and find that person. I know that in the discussions we've had previously with this board that, you know, that's a real asset. For instance, our fiber optic, we've got to make something happen out of that. This is the first step in making that happen. I would think we just move forward, knowing we're going to address these issues and knowing that it's going to be a little complicated, but we're not going to be pulling anybody out of there immediately, and we'll develop the strategy as we go. But I think the intent of the motion today is that, you know, that we've made the decision that we're going to bring IT back under the commissioners. We're going to make a coordinated effort with all of our office holders, like Commissioner Jolivet said, and try and develop the confidence and faith in the rest of the office holders that we can eliminate some positions, upgrade some positions, and actually put some of these assets to work. So I think the sooner we start down that road, the better. And to alleviate anybody's fears, tomorrow nobody's going to be gone, and nobody's going to be pulled out, and nobody's going to have to move. This is we're starting down the road to the to create this new entity under the commissioners, and it's going to be a coordinated, collaborative effort with all the office holders. All the office holders I've talked to have been supportive of it. They think it's high time that we brought this home and get it. In my opinion, some of the problems we've had in the past, and I don't want to go dig them up, but a lot of those can have been eliminated. It should never happened, and I think this is going to a way to fix those problems. And I think the sooner we start down that journey, the better for everybody. So I would not like to table it. I'd like to move forward just with the reassurances. You work with Derek and all of our people. You working together to identify any big problems. And we'll give you our commitment that we'll work on that and solve that. Nobody's going to be thrown out, displaced, or no services would be disrupted. We understand how important those services are to the county. And, of course, with the real estate division, your side, and everybody else has got a big stake in this endeavor. So I'd like to move forward with it.
Sounds good. Yeah, your concerns will be addressed, Mike.
I honestly can't say I'm for it. Point out that I've been in this position a week. So, I would like to have a little bit. I'd like to have time to review an issue, and it's a big issue. And Don, your comments are true. Go back a little history again. When that department was first created, a letter went out from the auditor's office from my father saying that this will be an apolitical department. There will not be any issues politically within that department. That hasn't always been true over the years. That's unfortunate. So I understand your concerns and those, definitely. But being in the first week of my position, I just can't say yeah. I'd like time to talk with Derek, and I appreciate all three of your comments because I respect all three of you.
By Thursday, we'll be able to come back with some recommendations as well that will help alleviate some of your concerns. Greg, did you?
I just wanted his input is going to be invaluable along with Greg Sullivan and the whole department.
Isn't going to work unless there's a good partnership.
Right.
So
I mean, even though we're saying we're establishing it, we're really beginning the first process of it, and we'll probably be formalizing something at a later date as we look at the hurdles and any obstacles and have to overcome those. One of those is a big one is the finances that we have to, that Tim and others are going to have to, I don't want this costing the general fund any more money than what it is.
Actually, it should save money.
Right, exactly.
It should save money. It should create jobs. It should use the asset of the fiber optics that we have in the ground, and should be a tremendous economic development tool if we do it right. And I think we have the ability to do it right. So this is, I think it's an opportunity, and I'm ready to. I think it's a great opportunity. So excited. I would move that we approve the
communications.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. Thanks, Mike. Anyone have anything for the commissioners this time? Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. Thank you.